Well, today as we talk about the stewardship of our dollars, we talk about habits. Because we all have habits. We all have bad habits. We know about our bad habits. We probably don't like our bad habits. They don't do us any good. And we probably try to some degree to get rid of our bad habits. We pray we all have good habits. Because good habits, on the contrary to bad habits, do us good. They do others good. They make the world a better place. And we should do all we can to encourage and build up all the good habits we have. And there's something else we need to know about habits. We have to practice our habits. Now, if we have a bad habit, we're very good at practicing it. We need to be equally as good at practicing our good habits, because good habits do not come automatically. You don't become a marathon runner by walking around the block once. You work at it again and again and again, and all that little progress, it adds up to big results. We need to work at our good habits. We need to cultivate them. My favorite Homer Simpson quote, "Trying is the first step toward failure." And some people think that, but Homer, as much as I love Homer, is wrong. We may try and fail, but trying is the only way we grow and learn to succeed. And like the fortune cookie says, it is all worth the effort. Good habits are worth the effort. Today we talk about holy habits. Our topic today is the importance of living out these holy, godly habits to be the people God wants us to be. Jesus constantly told people what they had to do in order to improve their life, to have better habits. The woman caught in adultery, he said, "Go and sin no more." Sometimes people didn't like what Jesus told. The rich man in Luke 18, who was told, "Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor." And he could not do that. But those who did listen to Jesus' wonderful words of advice, who changed their ways, who adopted godly habits, they were better people and they changed the world to be a better place. Today we talk about the godly habit, the holy habit of our generosity to the work of the Lord. And there's something we need to remember about good habits. First, good habits are taught. Jesus taught a lot. In fact, Jesus talked about money an awful lot. So did the Apostle Paul. I know there are people in the church who don't want the church talking about money. All the church talks about is money, but the question is, how often do we talk about money? Anyone had a money conversation in your household this week? Anyone thought about money, worried about money, rejoiced about money this week? Money is important to us. We have to understand that. And we need to be taught the proper use of money, and we need to learn how to properly use our money. Generosity has to start somewhere. Little children are not necessarily... I love the one who's... I couldn't see who it was who shared their toy with their sibling. But very often, little kids, their word they know is mine. Generosity is something that has to be taught. One of the most generous people in the history of our country was Andrew Carnegie. In the 19th century, he owned United States Steel. And later on in life, he sold the company and he spent the rest of his life giving away all the money. And here's a quote from Andrew Carnegie. "Surplus wealth is a sacred trust, which its possessor is bound to administer in his lifetime for the good of the community." Andrew Carnegie, when he was a wealthy man, was extremely generous. But did you know that Andrew Carnegie, when he was dirt poor, was extremely generous? One of my very first sermons I preached 38 years ago, I mentioned Andrew Carnegie in this. When he started out working in the 1850s, or whenever it was, he earned $3.50 a week. And every week he would give 35 cents of that to the church. From the very beginning of his life, he learned the habit of being generosity, and it grew with him as he became wealthier, and all those Carnegie libraries and all those other Carnegie buildings around the country are the result of his generosity. Because when we are generous, when we practice generosity, things grow and amazing things happen, and that's what we need to understand. The lesson you heard from today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's a wonderful story, one we don't hear very often, but let me give you the background to what's going on here. Back in Jerusalem, back in Judea, there is a famine going on, and the famine is affecting the Christians living there. And so Paul, as he traveled around to all these tiny Christian churches in the Roman province of Asia, which is modern-day Turkey, and through Greece, he was asking the Christians there to lend a helping hand, to reach out to help the Christians in Judea, in Jerusalem, who were suffering from this drought. Now, we have to understand today, because we're used to having fund appeals and things like that all over the place, this was a radically new idea in the ancient world. In ancient Rome, there were the ultra-ultra-rich, the one-tenth of the one-percenters, who loved to be publicly generous. But the idea of the ordinary person doing something to help another ordinary person whom they did not know, that was a radically new concept. What Paul tells the Corinthians and these other Christians to do was something they probably had not heard about. And Paul is saying, I'm going around to all the churches and I'm collecting money that we can then take to Jerusalem to help the Christians there buy food, because during a time of famine, food gets very expensive. And so what Paul told them is, on the first day of the week, every Sunday, I want you to set aside some of the extra money you have earned for this offering. Learn to practice the habit of regularly being generous. And then Paul says, and then when I come, you won't have to take the special collection because the money will already be there. Paul is planning in advance for the work of the church. And as Paul traveled around, it's exactly what he did. He collected all this money. And this was back in the days when there were no, you know, online giving, no credit cards. They had to take the money with them. And Paul, actually, to make sure everyone knows this is above board and honest, he had members of every church travel with him so that everyone could testify that all the money was given to the church. And that is what happened. And Paul ended up in Jerusalem, and the money was delivered, and the saints in Jerusalem were able to buy the food they needed to survive the drought. Holy habits. Holy habits need to be learned. The holy habit we have of being generous to the work of the Lord, our own stewardship, is a habit we need to all learn and cultivate, and a habit in which we need to grow in our lives. I like these three important reasons for being generous. The first reason for being generous is so that we are not overpowered by money. Jesus knew that nothing leads a person away from God more quickly than when you fall in love with money. That's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve God and mammon, money. That's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that make sure that you don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's why Jesus says in Luke's Gospel that be on guard against all kinds of greed. Being generous, letting go of our money, helps us keep everything in the proper perspective. The second point, that we are called to be generous with what we have on earth. Because you know what? Our money doesn't do us any good other than here. Famous Billy Graham line, I love quoting, I've never seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul. Our money is good for here and now, and it needs to be used properly here and now. And finally, that third part may seem a little strange, the word obligation. An obligation to share with others. But we do. Remember last week, if you were here, I preached on Paul saying the church is like a human body and each one of us is a part of it. We all have an obligation to do our part to support the work of the church. And that's what it's all about here at Grace Lutheran Church. And I have shared repeatedly over these last years, I shared last week, about the generosity of this congregation. Our Growing Grace campaign 4.5 years ago, were you the people of grace? You gave $975,000 willingly out of your pockets to help build our beautiful new building. We continue to grow in grace. I shared last week with you again how our offerings, our regular offerings, your annual commitments to the Lord, how they have grown over the last few years. That in 2015, the members of this church gave $495,000. This year, the members of our church, we estimate, will give about $615,000. That's a $120,000 increase in the course of 3 years. That is amazing generosity. This year, the council's still working on the budget. They're going to be talking about that next week. But the estimated plan is we're looking for about $635,000 offerings from you this year. That is about a 3% increase. We realize there have been big increases in the past few years. We're going for something much smaller this year. But it's important that we continue to give. And also keep in mind that this year at the annual meeting, the congregation voted that we would take the leftover money from our Grow in Grace campaign. We'd put it in a special fund because we know that we're growing into this huge new mortgage. We went from a mortgage in 2015 of $19,000 a year, smaller than a lot of people have for their homes. This year, our mortgage is $125,000 a year. And so we put some money aside knowing that we might have some deficit budgets for a few years. We have one this year, probably have one next year, although it'd be great if we didn't have to use any of the money. But isn't it nice to know because of your generosity, we have this money in reserve if we need it. So, our targets. This is what the church council is looking at for next year to give you an idea where we think our dollars will go. The first is this, to give your staff needed raises. Again, speaking on behalf of your staff, you have a really good staff here, folks. They work very hard. They are very dedicated. They are very creative. And so we want to make sure that we continue to support our staff. The next thing we have deals with pastor Social Security. And since this involves me, I'm going to step back, and I'm going to call upon Mike McGraw, who is our church council president, to talk a little bit about what this will mean for the pastors.
Morning, all. First of all, just like Pastor Paul, he led into this very well. Let's give the pastors and the staff here at Grace a round of applause. They work really hard. So as Pastor said, we've made some big, big strides over the last 5 years. You look at where we started at $19,000 mortgage, and now it's crazy where we've come and the giving that's been here. So we're all kind of taking a little sigh of, a breath and say, all right, let's slow down a little bit. Let's give everyone a little bit of time. But we still need to look to the future. What does it mean? Where are we headed? And the big part of that is, like Pastor said, salary increase. Keep us going. Keep our staff happy, understanding that we all appreciate them. And then secondly, that was a big surprise to me over the past couple of years, was pastors don't get paid Social Security here. And we kind of took a step back, and last year wasn't a great year to bring that to the table because of where we were trying to go with our budget. But this year, it's like, all right, we need to make that a goal. The average, or what is paid out, is typically 15% to an employee for Social Security. The standard pastors typically get paid 7.5% of that. But right now, they're pulling that out of their paycheck and setting that aside to pay Social Security. So it's not something we're helping them do right now. And I think it's important that we shoot to do that. So as we're working through the budget over the next couple weeks, what our goal is, all right, 7.5% is what ELCA says is what is normal. And what we're shooting for is at a minimum half of that, and we want to do more. And if we want to get to that 7.5%. So anything you can do to help would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Other things we want to do. We want to make sure we continue to be strong in our benevolence and the money we give away to others. That's important to this congregation. The money you give, it goes to support such ministries outside of the walls of Grace Lutheran Church, the work of our national church, the ELCA, the work of our Greater Milwaukee Synod. We support Lutheran Social Services, the money we give to the Circle of Empowerment to do the work in Nicaragua, the money we give to help our sister congregation in the inner city, All Peoples, the money we give to Crossways Camping and others. We want to do more. This year, we are giving away $54,400 that goes outside of Grace. We want next year to hit the up button. We want to give even more next year. Your generosity will enable us to do that. And finally, one of the goals for our church this next year is to take care of our beautiful church home. But our beautiful church home is now 2 years old, and we have a few things we need to do that we haven't budgeted for, such as, have you noticed we have a few windows in this church? Have you taken a look out of the windows on a very sunny day? And do you see what those windows look like? And we are a church with lots of kids, and have you seen all the fingerprints everywhere? Well, we want to budget some money so we can afford to clean our windows. That's kind of a good use of money. Have you noticed our church has lots of carpeting? Our church building is 22,000 square feet. At least 75% of that is carpeted. Have you looked at the carpeting lately? This is carpeting from the fellowship hall after 2 years of meals, all right? We want to budget money so that we can clean our carpets on an annual basis. The ordinary stuff everybody does. The Bulgrins are replacing carpeting right now. It's the things we need to do. All of these are the targets we have as a congregation for 2019. But the big question now is, what will each one of us do? How will each one of us practice the holy habit of being as generous as we possibly can? Now, this is a good time to talk about it because the economy is strong right now. Unemployment is at record lows. A lot of folks are getting increases, and that is wonderful. We need to keep that in mind because, as I said last week in my message, when it comes to giving, God deserves the first fruits, not the leftovers. Each one of us needs to understand, think, how will I do this? I love this next quote. You don't have to be rich to be generous. You have to be generous to be generous. And that's the challenge for all of us. We have many generous givers in this church. I shared last week some of the enormous amounts certain members of our church give. But we have others who don't give as much, but they are equally as generous. A college student who is a high school student, he graduated, he made a pledge of $500 from his part-time job. That is amazing generosity. One of our seniors living on a very limited income who increased their giving last year from $60 a year to $120 a year. That is amazing generosity. That's what we all need to strive to have in our own lives. The gospel today, as you heard, is the story of Zacchaeus, this tax collector in Jericho who has this run-in with Jesus. And when Jesus calls him to come down and have dinner with him, Zacchaeus says this amazing thing, the generosity he will have, that he'll give half of his money away to the poor, and if he defrauds anyone as a tax collector, he will pay it back 400%. What's interesting about the story of Zacchaeus is there's two ways to interpret what Zacchaeus says. Traditionally, it is Zacchaeus says, I will do this. That's how our gospel today and our translation translates it. Zacchaeus is now a changed man who will now on do everything differently than he has always done. But there's another way to look at the story of Zacchaeus. The actual Greek text, Zacchaeus does not say, I will do this. He says, I do this. I give away half of what I have. If I defraud anyone accidentally, I give them back 400%. It's an interesting question. Will he do this, or has he always done this, and people just think he couldn't have because he's a tax collector, and tax collectors aren't good people? Whatever it is, and we'll talk about this in the adult forum today, whatever it is, in either case, Zacchaeus will learn or has already learned the habit of being generous. Now, we are each called to be generous on our own. For each one of us. If you increased your giving for 2018, thank you. We encourage you to increase it in 2019 as well. I was told during our capital fund appeal, it's good for pastors to share what they do. So just so you know, my wife Karen and I this year, we're giving $13,500 to Grace. We will increase that next year no matter what happens with our stewardship campaign. We are committed to increasing our giving. If you kept your giving the same in 2018 as you did in 2017, I know some folks are on fixed incomes, but if you consider increasing it for 2019, remembering that the cost of running the church don't stay the same, and we all need to do what we can to increase our giving. If for some reason you lowered your giving for 2018 over 2017, and we know people have reasons for that, retirements or medical bills, but if you can consider increasing your giving back up to maybe where it was before, that would greatly help the work of the church. If you are new to Grace Lutheran Church, welcome! And we invite you to join by being as generous as you can when you make your faith commitment. If perhaps you are someone who in the past has not been giving to the church, or you give every once in a great while, I encourage you to consider becoming regular in your giving, to learn to practice the habit of regular, generous giving. And even more so, I encourage you to put it in writing. The end of the service today in the gathering area, we'll have your faith packets, and in there is a faith commitment card. I encourage you to do that. When you put your gift in writing, you are not signing a legal contract, okay? We will not come and get you if you fall behind. But it is a really good thing for all of us to learn to make that commitment. One other thing you can do has to do with e-giving, and in your packet, there's information about electronic giving. Why do we encourage e-giving? Well, it's this reason. Church offerings do not come in equally once 1/12 every month. It doesn't work that way in the church. September's offerings are traditionally low. Our September offerings were $14,000 less than we anticipated. This time of the year, we're about $40,000 behind where we budgeted. And don't panic, because that's where we normally are. And then the church is usually, December's a really big month, and we catch up. But you know what? There are times when people are gone in the summer, when the offering falls behind, where it gets a little nerve-wracking around here. And e-giving is a wonderful tool because it helps your church council and your church staff avoid sleepless nights and gray hair, because we know the money will come in regularly. I encourage you to maybe consider e-giving. It's a good tool. More and more of our members are doing so, and it is very helpful to us. All of us are called to practice the holy habit of being generous. And so today, as you leave worship, on the table out in the gathering area, little buckets with your commitment card. They're all alphabetized, so you can just pull yours out. Please pick up the packet. Read carefully the letter enclosed. Read summarizes a lot of what you've heard these last 2 weeks. Think about what you'll give. If you're a family, pray about what you'll give. Talk about what you will give. And then be as generous as you possibly can, practicing the holy, godly habit of regular generous giving. I used this slide in a sermon last month, and I think it is just wonderful. Anyone can be cool, but awesome takes practice. May we all practice to be awesome in our giving, remembering that our God is an awesome God, and we have the honor of giving to serve him and to do the work of his church. So thank you for all you do to support this congregation, and may we continue to grow and be even more generous in the year and years ahead. Amen.